I wandered far away from home. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin so long I trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home.
Hallelujah.
Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renewed, my hope restored. Lord, I'm coming home.
Hallelujah.
Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Hallelujah.
Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
To greet you, saints, in Jesus' name this afternoon, thanks to the musicians. If the saints don't mind, if you don't have an interpreter just this afternoon, that's okay. We just wanted to film something. So what you wanted to do, to those who weren't here on Wednesday, we'd like to take something of the gospel. And we'd like to really just show from the scripture just the way of salvation, of sin, its effect, and the way back to God. Amen. And by the grace of God, just to lay it out clearly, as simple as we can, so that we can, Brother Jose is kind enough, he's going to film it, edit it for us, put the scriptures and so forth, put it on YouTube, then we put it right on the homepage of our website, so that when we're getting out there, giving our tracks to people, it's got our website on the back, people can come into our website, and there's something there which they can watch. Amen. You know, and even if that's all that it ever achieves, like we were saying on Wednesday, the prophet says, take your lunch, little boy, put it into the hands of Jesus. He takes something natural and he can turn it into something supernatural. And he can feed 5,000 people. So we're just trying to take our natural, what we can do, put it into his hands this afternoon, and he can take it and make something supernatural out of it. And I think that's the desire that we have. So let's just have a word of prayer first of all. Heavenly Father, all we desire to do is to give ourselves into your hands. Because, Father, you can do things that we can never dream about. Father, we have our limitations, but Father, if you put ourselves into your hands, just as much as Moses with his rod, Father, in his hands it was just a rod, but once he put it into your hands, Father, what a powerful instrument that was of deliverance. And Father, when David had a slingshot, it was just two pieces of leather, Father, a couple of five stones, But Jesus, when you put it into your hands, what a mighty deliverance it brought. So Father, we just want to bring everything unto Thee upon this day, just to take Your word. Father, may You quicken it. Lord, may You direct it. May You lead it to the place that You desire to be. And Father, we desire that You be glorified. May the Lamb receive His reward is our desire. So bless Your people that have come this afternoon. Bless this little effort that we shall put in, Lord. We want to give it into Your hands right from the beginning. Give us wisdom. Give us mercy. Father, let Your unction, let Your anointing, let the Spirit of grace be upon these things, Lord. Send them forth for Your glory. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 15. We wanted to have a look at the thought of what can I do to be saved? Salvation. And if we had to give it a subtopic, we would speak about the fact of how to make heaven rejoice. That you can make heaven rejoice. You know, it's an amazing thing that a human being can make the whole of heaven rejoice. And we wanted to take this, speaking of salvation and the way of salvation, from the master teacher himself. No one can ever teach salvation better than Jesus. No one can ever show us the way, show us our sickness of sin, and show us the remedy of sin better than Jesus. He is the master. And Jesus, He brought to us in the book of Luke chapter 15, the gospel within the gospel. The parable of the prodigal son, it's the gospel within the gospel. Now, people through the years have tried to take the Lord's Prayer and make it better. You can't make it better because it's the Lord's Prayer. And if you just take Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son, you can never find a better gospel sermon because this was the master himself. So let's read the parable. We'll read it from verse 11, Luke chapter 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with a riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. So this is the gospel within the gospel. Jesus, within a few verses of Luke 15, he paints a drama for us. And this drama that he paints in just a few strokes of his brush, it's a masterpiece because it shows us the fall of man. It shows us the cause of man being in his condition, man being in a separated, sinful condition. And then it shows us God's only provided way of recovery from that condition. So within just these verses, he's showing us the sickness that man finds himself in, the condition that man, through his rebellion and through his decisions that he makes, brings himself into. And then it shows us now God's provided way of recovering ourselves and getting ourselves back in favor with our Father and into the condition that we should be.
And the wonderful thing about this parable is this is Jesus teaching us. Jesus is showing us the heart of God. You know, when we get in sin, when we're away from God, when we're troubled, when we have a guilty conscience, we have a distorted view of God. We end up thinking that God is against us, or that God is some cruel judge, or that God is some tyrant, or God is something which religion taught us. But if we want to know who God really is, if we want to know how God really feels about us, we need to go and see what God says about it. And when God came as a man in the form of Jesus Christ, Jesus took this parable to reveal to us what God really feels about us. Even in our rebellion, even in our sin, this parable shows us that no matter how far in sin we go, no matter how deeply depraved we get because of our rebellion, because of our wrong decisions, because of our stubbornness, it doesn't matter how far down we go, there's hope. There's always hope with God. And as long as we're willing to come back God's provided way, God has a way that you can be restored. God has a way that you can be forgiven. God has a way that you can be reconciled back to Him. And Jesus is showing us here not to look at our circumstances, but to look at the heart of God. Because Jesus is revealing to us the heartfelt desire of God is that God wants to be back in fellowship. God wants to reconcile no matter whosoever it would be that has rebelled against Him and has fallen in sin. God wants to be reconciled. And at the end of this parable, we see the rejoicing of a father over his wayward son. And that is revealing to us the joy that is felt in heaven when only one sinner repents. The repentance of one rebellious, stubborn sinner who has reaped what they sowed. That repentance causes heaven to rejoice. So this is a masterpiece of a parable that Jesus shows us. Now he starts off in verse 11 and he speaks of the certain man having two sons. And he says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So straight away we can see the condition of man. This young man calls him father, but he doesn't have the nature of a son. This young man, it's like the human race. We speak about God, but this young man wasn't in a relationship with his father. This young man didn't feel at home with his father. He didn't want to be in the presence of his father. He wanted his father's goods. He wanted to see what benefits he could get from his father, but he didn't want his father to have authority over him. He would not have his father to rule over him. He thought that happiness could be found outside of his father. He thought he could find happiness by going about things his own way. And that is exactly what we did. When we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we come into this world with a fallen nature. And that nature doesn't love God. That fallen nature that you inherited from Adam, who fell in the beginning, that nature thinks that happiness is to be found outside of the presence of our Father. That nature thinks, if I separate myself from God, if I get away from Him, if I get away from His rules, if I get away from my Father's house, if I get away from the bondage which my Father continually puts me in with His rules and His regulations, I'll find true happiness. The fallen nature thinks to separate itself from God will bring liberty. But as this parable shows us, to separate yourself from your Father brings you into bondage. But the devil is so clever at deceiving us. He deceives us into thinking you're going to find liberty. And when we follow him, we get into want and we get into lack and we get ourselves into bondage. And this is showing us the true picture of the human nature. And he says in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. You see, sin takes you far from God. Rebellion takes you far from God. But the next part of the verse says, and there he wasted his substance with the riotous living. The Bible tells us he wasted his substance with harlots. He gave in to the desires of the flesh. He gave in to the lusts and the desires of the natural man. He thought that's where he was going to find satisfaction. But the Bible says it was a wasted life. And all of the life that we live when we are not reconciled to our Father, all of the life that we live outside of our Father's house is wasted life. And that wasted life, which is brought about by rebellion and sin and the fallen nature, it separates us from God. Because this young man traveled into a far country. He wanted to be as far away as he could. And the Bible says that sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God in this life and in the life to come. And the Bible uses the word death. And that word means separation in Bible terms. To be dead is to be separated from God. This young man, when he separated himself from his father said, "My son was dead. But now he's alive once again." When you come back into fellowship with your Father, the one who has the good desire for you, it brings you back into life once again. So when he separated himself and he went into a far country, it was death. Separation from his Father. Now, Paul in the book of Romans, I'll read it from the Good News Bible. It's quite a good way that it puts it. But Paul speaks about our sinful nature in Romans chapter 8 verse 6. Paul says, to be controlled by human nature results in death. So if your human nature that you are born with is controlling you, it's going to result in death. Then Paul says, but to be controlled by the Spirit of God, results in life and peace. And so people become enemies of God when they are controlled by their human nature. So when our human nature, our fallen nature is controlling us, the Bible tells us we become enemies of God. This young man, he hated his father. He didn't want to be in the presence of his father. That shows the natural condition that we're born in. We don't want God. He didn't want his father's presence because the presence of God is unfriendly to sin. And sin is unfriendly to the presence of God. No person can stay in the presence of God when they've got sin. People are very uncomfortable. And this young man with his sinful desires, with the rebellion that he nursed inside of his bosom, with the desires that he had to please himself, he couldn't stay in the presence of his father. He couldn't be there. He rebelled against him. So the Bible says, people become enemies of God when they are controlled by their human nature. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. So if you are controlled by the nature that you are born with, you cannot please God. You can try to reform. You can try to go to church. You can try to read your Bible. You can try all manner of things. But the Bible says, unless a man is born again, he cannot even understand the things of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. We cannot reform ourselves. No matter how sincere we are, no matter how earnest we are, we cannot change ourselves. The nature that you're born with, the fallen, carnal nature, it hates God. It rebels against God. And the Bible tells us that it cannot obey God. It'll try. People will make resolutions every year that I'm not going to smoke anymore. And they go back to smoking. People will say, I'm not going to get involved in pornography anymore. And after a few days, the desire for pornography overrules the desire which they have to stop it. Because the nature that you are born with is a fallen nature. It cannot obey the principles of God. And this young man demonstrates that to us. He couldn't stay in his father's house with that rebellion. He couldn't stay reconciled to his father because his nature was not compatible with that which was required to stay in his father's house. For him to come back, there's going to have to be a change within. Something's going to have to change his nature. Something's going to have to change his desires. And then he's going to be able to live happily with his father and be reconciled down the way. So the Bible says he wasted his substance. And verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. You see, there's consequences to the decisions that we make. This young man thought there was liberty in freedom. The freedom that he thought was freedom. He thought being separated from his father and being able to live any way that he wanted was going to bring him satisfaction. But the Bible says he began to be in want. And friends, that's the natural condition of a fallen man. No matter what you try to do, seeking satisfaction, seeking the satisfaction of your soul, no matter what you do, when you're separated from your Father, you are in a condition of want. There'll always be something inside of you that is never satisfied because it cannot be satisfied. Because it's not supposed to be satisfied living that kind of life. The God who made us put something in us that can never be satisfied until we're back in fellowship with Him. It can never rest the soul of man until it's reconciled back to the one who made it. And this young man, in his delusion, thought that he could do it. Thought that he could find satisfaction. And all that happened, he found himself in want. He spent everything. He wasted everything. He wasted his time. He wasted the resources his father gave him. And he found himself in a position of want, having wasted all that had been entrusted to him. In the book of Galatians, Paul tells us in verse 6, do not be deceived. No one makes a fool of God. This is the Good News Bible. You will reap exactly what you sow. This young man is now reaping what he sowed. If you plant in the field of your natural desire, you will gather the harvest of death. If you plant in the field of the Spirit, from the Spirit you will gather the harvest of eternal life. So it's up to us to choose which harvest we're going to reap. If you sow to your flesh, to your human desire, you reap a harvest of death. If you sow to the kingdom of God, if you sow to the spiritual kingdom, you will always reap a harvest of eternal life. And every single one of us today who is alive, every person sitting here is going to reap one of these harvests. You cannot escape it. Every person here, by the decisions that they make in this life, will either reap a harvest of life or a harvest of death. And this young man had to come to the time of decision to choose. Because he had been sowing to his flesh. And he was going to reap a harvest of death. And if he didn't come to himself quickly enough and realize the peril of his condition, he was going to die in his sin and be forever separated from his Father. But the grace of God never wants to leave a person like that. The grace of God wants to come to a person, no matter how low that they are, to awaken something inside of themselves to the reality that you don't have to live that kind of a life. You don't have to die on your sin. You don't have to die separated from the Father who loves you. There is a way back. And that's what it shows us in this parable. If we look in the age that we're living in, this age is reaping a harvest of death. People thought they could change the natural relations of things. And then they reaped HIV. They reaped sexually transmitted diseases. We've reaped a harvest of broken homes and broken marriages and all these things and teenage pregnancies and great sorrow and hardship. What is it? It's the law of God. If you sow to your natural desire, you reap a harvest of death. And we're naturally reaping a harvest of death. But if we would return to our Father, be reconciled to Him and start sowing in righteousness, we shall reap a harvest of life. But it's up to us to make the decision. But God has made a provided way that He can bring us from sowing to death to sowing back to eternal life. Now this young man in verse 15 is like the rest of us. We were without Christ. When he found himself in want, when he found himself in need, and he knew, I'm lacking something, I need something here, he tried to make a plan. Instead of realizing and facing up to the fact that all of this has happened because I'm separated from my Father. All of this has happened since I made these decisions. All of this has happened, it's a result of the seed that I've been sowing in my life. Instead of facing up to his situation and returning to his Father, when he sees that things are bad, he wants to try to make a way for himself. He wants to try to remedy the situation himself. So in verse 15 it says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Can you see? By trying to fix his situation, he puts himself into even greater bondage. By trying to fix the situation himself, he becomes even more depraved than he was before. In an even more depraved and embarrassing condition. Because this young man was a Jew, and now he's feeding the swine. Is that not a sad situation? But we all make those decisions. We think, I can fix it myself. You can't fix it yourself. Right from Adam, right up to this generation, now, no person ever managed to fix it themselves. Anybody who ever got fixed had to come God's provided way. Because there's only one remedy for sin. And God is the one who has to minister that remedy. And we have to go back to Him in order to be cured from this malady that man has inherited through a fallen nature. And the results of the decisions that you make when you allow that nature to dominate us. So this young man, he joins himself to a citizen of the country. Now the citizen of the country represents the devil, Satan himself. This young man just gets into a deeper alliance with the devil. And he thinks, maybe this will help me. Maybe this will minister to the want, the lack that I have inside of my life. And look at the estimation that this citizen of the country had of this young man. He looked at him with contempt and said, I'm going to make him my servant. And he made him a servant feeding swine. Imagine leaving your father's house where he was a joint heir with his father, where there was honor, where there was plenty. And he brings himself into a situation that he makes an alliance with somebody that has contempt for him. That sends him out to do the most low job that there was, feeding the swine. And doesn't even feed him enough. Doesn't even give him sufficient food to satisfy his natural hunger. That this young man, he's looking at those carob pods that the pigs would eat. And he's envying the pigs. And saying, I've tried to eat this food, but it doesn't satisfy. If only I was like these pigs, because this food satisfies them. Friends, from coming a son of such a great house, a son of such a great father, look at the condition he finds himself in. He's envying the swine. He's envying pigs, friends. Sin will take you lower than you ever thought it'll take you. Sin will take you farther than you ever intended to go. And sin will keep you there longer than you ever intended to stay. Sin is a cruel taskmaster. It'll promise you liberty, but it'll just bring you greater bondage. Exactly what happened to this young man. And the moment you continue to listen to your fallen nature, the long as you continue to just be led by your natural desire, you just find yourself going downwards further and further in the downward spiral until you won't even want people to share of the things that you get yourself involved in. I've seen enough believers come into the office and speak of some of the things which they did when they were backslidden. Friends, your ears will tingle. You will not believe that a person can do some of the things that people do. And that is what happens when we sow to the flesh. We make an alliance with the citizen of this country. He makes us his slave. And he puts us in situations that are so dirty and so bad. And we get involved in things that we never would have dreamed we can get ourselves involved in. But the good thing about it, no matter how far down he's taken you, there's still hope. God can still raise you up from there. God can come right down to where you are. God's not waiting for you to come to where he is, because you can't. But God will come right down to where you are. He'll come and find you where you are because of the goodness of his nature and because of the greatness of his love. Because all the time that this young man was feeding the swine and his clothes were dirty and maybe he was sleeping with the swine because he had nowhere else to go, all the time his father's love never changed for him. His father loved him just as much as before. And maybe the servants in his father's house were saying, when is this old man going to forget about that young man? When is his love going to dim? But the Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God loves with an everlasting love. No matter how far down we get, God still loves us. God doesn't want us to die in that condition. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, the Bible says, but to save the world. And He came down and took our sin upon Himself so that we can be forgiven. So that there can be a way back to bring us from the extremity of where sin will take us. God's grace can reach lower than sin can take you. And what sin does to us, God's grace can more than undo. And bring us back to a place that we don't deserve. But God's grace will minister us there. And this young man among the pigs. The Bible, Paul speaks in Hebrews about the deceitfulness of sin. Can you see how deceived this young man was? Can you see how deceitful the devil is? Can you see how deceitful following your own human nature is, your own human desires? It promises you liberty. It promises you freedom, but look where you end up. You end up in drug addiction. You end up addicted to nicotine. You end up addicted to fornication, adultery, the sins of the flesh. You end up addicted in bondage, a captive. When you were born a son, you were born to be free. But sin takes you into bondage. And God is the only one that can break the bondage of sin to set somebody free. So this young man, he's eating with the swine. Friends, the things that we eat when you follow our human nature, spiritually speaking, you'll never find rest or satisfaction for your hunger by eating the food of beasts. This young man couldn't eat the pig's food and be satisfied. And friends, pornography will never satisfy your soul. The things of the world, Hollywood, all of these things will never satisfy the inward desire that's inside of the soul. The only thing that can satisfy it is to be reconciled back to the God who breathed the breath of life inside of your soul. That's the only thing it can satisfy. The devil will promise you that if you just get more money, if you just get a better car, if you just get a better job, if you just do this, that, and the other, there's nothing that you can do. God has bound us up like that because God wants us in a condition like that to start to think. God wants us to start to consider because God wants us back in fellowship with Himself. So God will never allow us to be satisfied in that kind of a condition. Then came the turning point. In verse 17, it says, "And when he came to himself." Can you see that sin drives you into spiritual madness? When a person is separated from God through sin, you are mad. The Bible calls a sinner a fool. It says a fool has said in his heart there's no God. Because God looks at our sinful condition. We put our fingers in our ears. We don't want to hear God anymore. And we hasten to destruction. We hasten to death, hell, and the grave with our fingers in our ear. Friends, is that not foolishness? The behavior, when we are in sin, our behavior, God sums it up as foolishness. God sums it up as insanity, as madness. This young man wasn't in his right mind because the Bible said he had to come to himself. And friends, that is the grace of God. You cannot come to yourself without the grace of God. At some stage inside of your life, God visits your soul. And the deep that is in God and the love that He has for you comes down and starts to minister to the deep that is inside of your soul. And God visits in the day of visitation the soul of a person. And they start to come to themselves. They start to realize, but hey, what am I doing? Does it have to be like this? What is going to be the end of these things? That is the grace of God. But now it depends on us how we're going to respond at that kind of a time. Because when this man came to himself and realized, look what he says. It says he came to himself in verse 17 and he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants." Now, friends, that was good. That was a starting point, but that wasn't enough. If that young man had just looked at his condition and realized, I'm wrong. I'm going to perish like this. I don't want to die in this condition. If he hadn't have taken steps to recover from that condition, if he hadn't have done something, he would have died in that condition. It's not enough just to realize that we're in sin. It's not enough just to realize that we've sinned against God, we've rebelled, we're separate. It's not enough just to realize that the condition that we're in is a perilous condition. We've got to return to him. And that's the key to this young man. When he came to himself, first there was a resolution. I will go to my father. And then he followed through his resolution. Because the next verse said, and he arose. And he went to his father. Now that is where the multitude of people perish in their sin. They come to a realization that they separated from God. They come to a realization of the perilous condition that they were in. That if I die like this, I'm separated from God for all eternity. But they never take it any further than that. And the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's not good intentions that get you saved, that bring you back into reconciliation with your Father. It's going God's provided way. And God has only one provided way of salvation. One provided way, and that is the way of repentance. Repentance, firstly, is a change of mind. You've got to come to yourself. You've got to realize, I can't continue like this. This is wrong, the way that I'm living. I can't keep going on the way that I'm going. I'll perish. So repentance is when you come to your right mind. And you start to see things the way that they really are. That's what repentance is. But that's not enough. You've now got to put some sweat onto your repentance. You've got to put some legs onto your repentance. And you've got to rise up. And you've got to go to your Father. And you've got to say to your Father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. You've got to go to where he is. He's going to draw nigh to you if you draw nigh to him. And that's the secret with this young man. He began to reason. He began to feel the way that he should. He began to propose inside of himself. But the key to returning, this young man was willing to humble himself. He was willing to admit that he was wrong. He was willing to face up to what he had put himself into. To face up to the wrong decisions that he had made. And that's the only way to be reconciled. The Bible tells us, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost. God will forgive you of your sin. And God will bring you back into the right relationship with him. But there's got to be a return. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. Now how do we do that practically? We do it by the way of prayer. Now prayer is not saying a Hail Mary. And prayer is not just uttering our Father which art in heaven. Although that's a good prayer. But prayer, the reality of prayer, prayer is when your heart comes back to God. That's how you come back to your Father. An earnestness, a sincerity, a determination. I need to speak to God. And then there's a heart's cry, and your heart returns first to God. And you go back to him and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Prayer is like a child coming back to its father. That's what prayer needs to be. A simplicity, an earnestness, a genuineness. You can't just sit in your regret for what you've done. You've got to express that regret. You can't just sit down there in the pig pen and say, it's my fault that I'm here. You've got to raise your heart to God and say, God, I need you to help me. I'm to blame 100% for the condition that I am. But I'm asking you for your grace. Won't you take me back? That's what the way of repentance. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, his father saw him before he saw his father. That's the way that it works with God. God sees you in your sin before you see yourself in sin. God starts dealing with you before you even realize that God is dealing with you. God draws near to your soul before you realize that there's a God that's dealing with your soul. God starts to waken something up inside of you, and you start coming to yourself, and you start, maybe for the first time in your life, you start taking eternal things seriously. You start to really consider your ways. There's something that starts to speak from within and start saying, if you continue like this, what is the end of you going to be? There's hope. There's a better way. And this father came to him. His father interceded for him, prayed for him, before he came and spoke to his father. And that's how it is with God. Christ, the great high priest, makes intercession upon us, even in our sin. God prays for us, even before we start praying to him. Can you see that salvation is the grace of God? But you've got to come back God's provided way. The Bible says in the book of Micah, who is a God like unto you that pardons iniquity? The Bible says he passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. God retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. When this young man came back to his father, there were plenty of things that his father could have been angry for. But can you see the heart of God? The Bible says he had compassion on him. God's compassion overrides his anger. When he sees a heart wanting to come home, when he sees a soul wanting to be reconciled, when he sees a sinner who's seeking for forgiveness, there's many things God should and could have been angry for. But the attribute of God that meets us is the attribute of compassion. God has compassion because God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love. And we see from that, the Bible says his father ran to meet him. When it speaks of running, it speaks of an eagerness. His father was so eager to embrace him once again. It wasn't something that was done grudgingly. And Jesus is showing us here the nature of God, that when we start returning to him, God will run to meet you. God will meet you where you are. You don't have to patch up your clothes first. This young man didn't have to change anything about himself, just as he was. Just as I am, without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me. And that's what you do. You don't try to make your situation better yourself. You just arise and you go to your Father with an attitude of humility, with an attitude of confession. And you say to your Father, I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy. And he runs to meet you because of the greatness of his mercy and the greatness of his compassion. Verse 22 says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. In all nations, feasts speak of gladness. And friends, there was a feast. One soul, one sinner, today, resolving inside, in humility, that I've sinned. I will return to my God. I will return to my Father. I will say to my Father, have mercy on me. The entire kingdom of heaven rejoices. There's a feast day declared in heaven over one soul that repents, one sinner that repents. It doesn't even have to be the greatest sinner that ever lived, just a sinner. One sinner repenting. The Bible says there's joy among the angels of heaven. It's such a wonderful thing. The angels reflect the feelings of God, that God rejoices when his wayward son returns home. Now look in Luke chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus told two other parables before this one. And he's in each of them expressing the heart of God. He says in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So he's showing God is the seeking shepherd. When one sheep has gone astray, the shepherd will not rest until it finds that sheep and brings it safely home. And look at God's attitude in verse 5 when he finds it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Can you see how much repentance causes rejoicing in heaven? When the lost sheep came back. And then he gives a parable of the woman who lost one of her coins. And she searched for it in verse 9. And when she had found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. There's a rejoicing. Friends, God delights in mercy. God loves to meet a repentant soul. God loves reconciliation. It rejoices the heart of God. So if you're seeking to repent, you're not trying to pull something out of a reluctant God. God is more willing to give you forgiveness than you are to be forgiven. God is more willing to be reconciled to you than you are to be reconciled. God is more willing to embrace you like he did the prodigal, to kiss you, to kill the fatted calf, to clothe you, to restore you to your original position than you yourself desire to be restored. That is the teaching of the Bible. Just in conclusion, Jesus was criticized for two things. The first thing, he was criticized for being a friend of sinners. Isn't that not amazing? Jesus was criticized for being a sinner's friend. Jesus has always been and always will be the sinner's friend until he returns. Jesus is the friend of sinners. Jesus is not looking upon a sinner with angry eyes. Jesus is a friend of sinners. He longs to be reconciled to his son that has gone astray. Though it may have been your rebellion, like this young man, may have been your own false decisions. You may have overruled God's warnings in your life time and time again. Your condition may be completely your own fault, like this young man. But Jesus is the sinner's friend. The other thing it says, that Jesus, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. That was another accusation, that Jesus would receive sinners and he would eat with them. And friends, that's the same Jesus. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today he receives sinners just as much as he did then. He desires to feast with those that return to him. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This young man thought he would throw off the yoke of his father, and he thought he'd be free. But what happened? He ended under the yoke of bondage. He ended under the yoke of servitude, of humiliation and shame. And that's why Jesus said, come unto me. Let me put my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy to bear. My yoke is light. And if you carry my yoke, if you learn of me, you will find rest for your soul. That's the desire of God. Romans 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever, it doesn't limit, it says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise of God. No matter where you are today, the key, the way back, call upon the name of the Lord. It's not enough to regret your situation. It's not enough to make resolutions. It's not enough to seek for pity, to find your own solutions. It'll never work. The Bible says you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And whosoever, no matter what you've done, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. And that's God's word. And the final verse, Paul was told when he was smitten on the Damascus road, when he was in his madness of sin, when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he met the pillar of fire, the voice says, now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. So the steps that we take, the way back is steps. First we resolve, and then we do. We repent, we return, we confess, we call upon the name of the Lord. And as we call upon the name of the Lord, he has compassion on us. He runs to meet us. He embraces us. He takes off the garments, filthy from the pigsty, the garments contaminated by sin. He takes them off. He puts the new robe on us. He puts the ring back, the restored inheritance. He puts shoes on our feet. In Bible times, the servants weren't allowed to wear shoes. And his father, when he saw that young man coming without shoes, he said, no, my son is not a servant. He's my son. And he put shoes on his feet. Friends, that is the way back. There's grace, amazing grace to anybody that seeks it today. If there's a desire in your heart, there's a God in heaven that's willing to meet that desire. Just call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Let's stand. Let's sing one song and let's close in the word of prayer. And if there's anybody here today, you can make heaven rejoice today. Because one sinner that repents, there's joy in heaven. Just the right decision today. Regret. Resolution. Repentance. Confession. Calling on the name of the Lord from a sincere heart. Letting your heart return to God. Friends, it causes heaven to rejoice. And it causes heaven to respond. And God will meet you where you are. And take you back to where you're supposed to be. Whichever you want, friend.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
As we close in prayer, that you wanted to return. It might be from backsliding, it might be from wandering, might be from some bondage that's in your life. You know, just inside of your heart, just call upon the name of the Lord. Let your heart return to God. Because before anything else returns, your heart has to return. If you've come to yourself this afternoon and you're seeking mercy, God is more than willing and more than able if you call upon His name. If you return to Him, He will restore you once again. Father, we are your people. And Father, how glad that we are for grace. Father, the madness of sin. Father, we remember the madness of sin. And even in our backslidings, Father, the things that we can do and the things that we think many times, the things we can get ourselves involved in, the things that we can say, how, Father, we'd never believe that sin could cause us to do such things. But thank you, Lord, that, Father, no matter what it is that we do, there's grace. That there's a fountain that's opened in the house of David for the cleansing of sin. And each of us would desire to come upon this day once again to the crimson stream of blood. Father, to confess our sins in the presence of the blood. To call upon the name. And Father, you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I do pray for each person here today, for each soul, for each home that is represented. We're thinking of Sister Rosa, that you'd give her safe delivery at this time, that you'd watch over her. Brother George and Sister Lana, that you'd give them a blessed time where they are. Brother Bishop, Lord, with sickness in the home, that you'd minister grace there. And to every other need that we have, we bring it into thine hands. And Father, just the simplicity of this broken up message. Father, it's nothing in the eyes of the world. But Jesus, if you give it into your hands, you can do great things. So we just want to commit this into your hands. Father, may you take this, your word. Father, such a precious parable that Father's given us hope so many times. Father, may you use it to minister hope to people, Lord. Father, you who can direct the footsteps of people. Father, them that are seeking for grace, may you direct people to that. And may you anoint it, may you quicken it, may you meet people in the point of need. May it be something that glorifies your name. May it be something that you use for your glory. That, Father, when we get beyond the curtain of time, how wonderful it would be to meet somebody there. To meet people there that maybe we never met in this life. But, Father, but you ministered an entrance to eternal life through just the simplicity of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Father, we desire to use it for good this day. And we commit these things in your hands. May you bless Brother Jose for the effort that he's making as well. Amen. Father, even Lord, our Brother Kwame with the website. Father, may you bless him for what he does. And Brother Virgus and Brother Paul and all the effort they put in to prepare the messages and do the sound. Father, you bless them with a special blessing we'd pray upon this day. And Father, as we'd go from this place now, give us traveling mercies to go out different places. Watch over them that'll go to school this week. Watch over them that are in college. Father, those that are seeking for work, may you minister grace unto them. Them that, Father, are seeking whatsoever it would be. Father, we look to you, for you are Jehovah Jireh. Minister grace to Sister Lydia, the children as well, I pray. And Brother Vlad, as he goes to work this evening, Father, may you be with him. May you strengthen him. You guide him and lead him, Lord. And Father, our Brother Maxwell, as he seeks for accommodation, as he seeks to put his papers in order, Father, may you bless him. May you help him. May you guide his footsteps, that he may be once again reconciled with his family. Together with them would be our desire. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for each person at the post of duty. May we depart with your blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you, saints. Maybe you sing one song as we depart, right?
Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. When I pray Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah. He's an answering God.